As potential subjects for Broadway comedies go, the Louisiana Purchase doesn't sound exactly promising. But the Tony-winning playwright John Guare is attracted to improbable subjects, and his new play, A Free Man of Color, has just opened on Broadway, and it is an epic farce about the Louisiana Purchase. It's 1801, and the setting is New Orleans, a city where races mixed freely and money ruled. And at the center of it all is Jacques Cornet, a free man of color who wears flashy silks and a long curly wig and makes all sorts of mischief with the women of New Orleans. John Guare, welcome to Studio 360.
Well, very nice to be here, Kurt. Very nice to be here.
Let's listen to a scene from the beginning of the show where we meet Jacques Cornet.
Mamère, introduce me.
His name used to be...
My name is Jacques Cornet. New Orleans is my home.
I'm Cupidon Mamère, his administrative assistant.
Last time I looked, you were my slave.
Which is why I stopped looking. Didn't you used to be a slave?
Don't be fresh, Mamère. Even though born of a slave, I purchased my freedom and became my father's heir.
My father's heir. A very rich, very white father left my boss everything, including me. I do all the work. He does nothing.
I beg your pardon? Each morning I may be found at my atelier writing my play.
Where'd you get the nerve to write a play?
Brocade gave me confiance.
Does your masterpiece have a title?
A Free Man of Color.
What would it be about?
The sanctity of surfaces, the value of veneer. Lift the curtain. We begin.
That is Jeffrey Wright as Jacques Cornet and Mose.
Mose, the former Mose Def.
The former Mose Def as his slave. People have written before about black free men owning slaves in a very, very serious fashion, usually. Did writing this as a comedy give you any pause?
If I had to write it seriously, that would have given me pause, because I think this situation is basically so absurd that to have a play begin with a black man dressed in an 18th century style, the last time men would dress like this.
Like total fops.
Total fops. And to have a slave, a black slave, have a black man having a black slave who dresses like this. The image to me is so both ridiculous, crazy, ominous, and curious that, yes, that you had to. It's basically comic. Yes, it had to be comic.
So at the beginning of A Free Man of Color, Jacques Cornet seems to have it all. Every woman in New Orleans loves him.
And all the money. He has all the money.
And he has all the money. He's living in this perfect place where his racial makeup doesn't matter. Absent this larger thing, this change in the law that's about to happen, he has no challenge, really. I mean, he would have lived his happy fop's life from here to 1850.
It was the dream life. It was a man in paradise. It was just, yes, it was, it, he had found, he had made his paradise. He controlled everything. He had everybody in New Orleans dancing to his tune. He was the biggest fish in a beautifully sized pond.
And the problem that descends is what, in a nutshell?
Well, history is coming. History is moving on and saying, you know what? That change is the greatest unknown territory in the world, and suddenly he's no longer calling the shots. Suddenly, it's an ungovernable city. Nobody governs New Orleans. And suddenly, government comes into his life. The politics come into his life with horrifying racial laws, the Code Noir of Louis XIV. And, yeah, so that's...
And the Code Noir, for people who haven't seen your play yet, is...
The Code Noir is written in, promulgated by Louis XIV in 1685, regarding all the racial laws in this new territory of Louisiana, this 900,000 square miles, the way people were to be treated, and the way the Jews were to be treated, the way that they were really non-people, the way that blacks were non-persons, all the rules of their behavior that they had to abide by, or they would be killed, or branded with the fleur-de-lis. They were brutal, brutal laws.
And which at the beginning of the play hasn't applied because there's been this moment of Spanish rule.
New Orleans was a city of such liberation. It was a city that nobody really owned, where race was celebrated, where there were all these different extraordinary names for what your racial mix was. And
no, you say in the playbill that there were 100 different words for people of mixed race.
That's right. And they were all celebrations. It was like, I am Mama Luke, I am Sambo, I'm Grifo. Oh, really? You look very mestizo. Well, it's funny because I'm Os Rouge. And there was slavery, but slaves were encouraged to buy their freedom because the more people free there were, the better it was. And New Orleans was this extraordinary port, this entry to the world, where everything from Quebec, the furs in Quebec, everything that came out of North America went out through New Orleans or came in through there.
This is this epic farce with you. There's Napoleon, there's Jefferson, there's the leader of the Haitian Revolution. It spans the world, each second. Having written fairly sprawling historical fiction myself, I know the problems technically inherent in trying to do all that, in falling in love with your research too much. Was that a challenge for you as you discovered all these amazing factual things about America in the 19th century?
It was extraordinary. I mean, I would have been happy after about 2 years. I literally spent my time drowning in it, swimming in it, and then almost drowning in it. And I realized that I would have to just pull the plug and say, I know enough right now. The thing that helped me cut my way through the sprawl is that I had a very clear-cut character. And I had to blend, I had to have a timeline between his timeline and the timeline of history.
I read that this play, though, even when you were done, theoretically, was twice as long as it is now.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
It runs 2.5 hours. It was a 5-hour play?
Oh, it was about 5 hours, yeah.
And how did you proceed to make it shorter? And is shorter better?
Oh, very much so. The odd thing about it is that the progression of scenes in that version has not changed. It's basically, the basic structure is still exactly the same. Where there, maybe I said something 5 times, I found I could say it maybe once might be better.
One of your great plays, 6 Degrees of Separation, I thought of as I was watching A Free Man of Color, because it is about this young black man sort of fooling this liberal cosmopolitan world.
Not sort of.
About who he is. He pretends to be the son of Sidney Poitier. Let's listen to a clip from the movie adaptation that came out in 1993.
Your father means a great deal in South Africa.
Oh, I'm glad of that. Dad and I went to Russia once to a film festival. He was truly amazed how much his presence meant.
No. Tell us stories of movie stars tying up their children, being cruel.
I wish.
You wish.
If I wanted to write a book about him, I really can't. No one would want to read it. He's decent, and I admire him.
That is Will Smith in John Guare's 6 Degrees of Separation. Were you thinking about that play as you were writing A Free Man of Color?
I didn't, but after I finished it while we were in rehearsal, it kept coming back to me that it's the variation on that.
Do you think in the 20 years since you wrote 6 Degrees that desire for celebrity for its own sake or pretense of celebrity has become have we become more skeptical of that or not?
No, I think it's more desperate. I think the need is even more desperate. I think the need is even more urgent to say, well, if there's now Twitter, if there's all this around, where am I in it?
And I can get a little small caliber celebrity.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Now you're done with this play. It's up. It's running. Are you now writing something else? Do you work every day? How does
I
that
do.
Work for you?
I do. I always have. The minute you're going to go into rehearsal with a play, you have to have another play ready to go to the day after it opens. So that if the play is a triumph, which rarely happens, you don't get so lost in saying, how did I do that? How do I repeat that?
You're on to the next thing.
That you have, or if it's a failure, you can't say, oh my God, I can't, I don't know where to begin. That you have something to go to. So for me, the main rule of when I know I'm going to go into rehearsal with something, to get something ready for me to go to the day after.
John Guare, thank you very much.
What a nice talk. Thank you, Kurt.
A Free Man of Color is at the Lincoln Center Theater right now, and you can hear another scene from the show at our website, studio360.org.